Hello, everyone, and good evening. Tonight, my webinar topic is leading an authentic life, how to lead an authentic life. We're going to go into the concept of authenticity, which is a very, very special word for me, because I really think that there's really not much to life if you do not take a stab and attempt authenticity and to be your authentic self. I think there's a great book out there that says, be yourself because everyone else is taken. And in my book, Take the Step, The Bridge Will Be There, chapter one is all about authenticity and how important authenticity is to your life's work, to your life's mission, to your happiness, to resiliency, to being able to deal with stress and the river of change. Authenticity is really the cornerstone upon which you can build yourself, your sense of self, your sense of self-worth. It comes from this place of knowing self and what this concept is about. People who are authentic and live authentically, these people who kind of are passionate about life, they go out there and they attack life, they feel good about themselves, they spread joy, they have positive energy. The other reason why we want to be authentic is because according to some research that's been done that's out there, they interviewed people who were on their deathbed. And they asked them, what are your top regrets? And the number one top regret of people who are on their deathbed, and this is an Australian nurse named Bonnie Ware, and she wrote the book, The Top Five Regrets of the Dying. And Bonnie says that the top regret of the dying was, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life others expected of me. And Bonnie said this was the most common regret of all. And when people realize that their life is almost over, they look back and they say, who did I live for? Did I live for myself, or did I live for other people? So it's really important that we kind of explore the concept of authenticity and what it means to live an authentic life. So how, in Shakespeare too, to thy own self be true. And he says, and it must follow as the night follows day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. Which I think he's saying is that if you are true to yourself, then you will be true to others. The whole concept, if you love yourself, you can love other people. So how can we lead a more authentic life? Socrates 2000 years ago said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And for some of you, it will take years, maybe even a lifetime to unearth the real you. But don't give up. This is your most ardent mission, my friends. It's your most sacred task. Don't consult your external self, your body, your looks, your hair. Authentic self is not in your thoughts or your beliefs. It's not your religion. It's not your background. It's not your culture. Do not always trust your emotions to find your authentic self, because your emotions, depending on what trauma you're going through, can be up and down like a roller coaster. Do not look to your circle of family and friends, because they don't have the answer for you. And if you're a people pleaser your whole life, then you will not have found your authentic self. Do not judge your authentic self by what you do, okay? Your credentials, your degree, the job that you have, the corner office, the car you drive, the house you live in, how much money you make. The authentic self is not found there. Your authentic self is not found in your astrological stars, in the heavens, in the deep sea. It is found where? It's found right here. Your authentic self is found in your soul. That place that belongs just to you. That imprint that was given to you when you were born. It is your duty, it is your job to figure out what this soul needs, who this soul is, what are the talents this soul was given, and to express that out into the world. So your authentic self is about knowing your soul. And to some, for some people, they're like, what? Soul? What has this got to do with anything? I feel that, you know, the people who sometimes fall into depression, the people whose marriages flatline, the people who lose their juice kind of midlife and they have to go and buy expensive cars or do all kinds of crazy things, it's because they've lost that connection to their soul. And little children have that connection. And as we grow up, we lose it. One of my favorite quotes of all time, the soul would rather fail at its own life than succeed at someone else's. And that was the poet David White who said that. So tonight, I have 9 ideas for you. 9 ideas that I've called through, some stuff in my book and ideas that I've been teaching in terms of how we can live a more authentic life. But also, what is good soul care? How do we awaken the spiritual soul to speak to us, to tell us what our authentic journey is and what our path in front of us is? What does it look like? So the first idea, number one, and you might want to have a pen and a pad of paper, okay? Because some of these things, I'm going to ask you some questions tonight and a little exercise I'm going to do with you tonight to jot down some things. So get yourself a pen and a paper. So the first idea is to ask yourself, who am I and what do I seek? What do I want? Who am I? What do I want? So please, if you don't mind, put your hand on your heart, okay? Close your eyes. I'm going to ask you some questions. And you're going to trust your gut instinct, okay? Don't let this mind take it away and be too bossy pants here. We don't want this mind to get involved. We want your soul. We want your body. We want your reaction, your first gut instinct, all right? So first question, if you have your eyes closed, it helps. Put your hand on your heart. First question. What do you want? What do you want right now? Not 10 years ago, not in the future, this moment. What do you want right now? Okay, you can keep it in your mind, but if you can just open your eyes and jot down the first thought, the first thing that came up for you. And this is going to be information for you to kind of go digging for your authentic self. To go, sometimes it does require a bit of a dig. Second question, put your hand in your heart, close your eyes, take a deep breath. Where are you going? Okay, don't question the question, just answer it. Where are you going? Where do you want to go? I know under COVID-19, the planes are kind of stuck on the tarmac. No one's going anywhere, but where do you want to go? Pick up your pen, write it down. Next, close your eyes. If there was one word to describe your life right now, one adjective, one noun, one verb to describe your life right now, don't question it, don't judge it, what is it? Write it down. Close your eyes. Hand on your heart. Next question. Who do you pretend to be? Who do you pretend to be? And in what environment does the false self come out? Is it at work? Is it with your kids? Is it with your in-laws? Is it with your friends? Who do you pretend to be? And when does your false self come out? Next, what are you scared of? Don't question it. Go with it. Trust your gut. What are you scared of the most? And finally, what is your best talent, your gift? What is your best talent, your gift? Write it down. So I want you to meditate on those responses after this is over in the next few days, to journal and some of the other ideas that I'm going to give you. But those are deep questions. And Socrates said that, you know, it's the questions that we have to hold, you know, and give them space, these beautiful questions in our lives, and for us to become more philosophical, because the authentic life and leading an authentic life is all about that philosophical journey. You know, asking the deep questions, you know, who am I? What do I want? Where am I going? What have I accomplished? What's meaningful to me? These types of questions are wonderful to journal. So who are you? What do I seek? Where am I going? And I encourage you to just keep digging and keep journaling. So that's the first idea, to kind of get in touch with your soul, to get in touch with the authentic path and get in touch with your authenticity. Number two, tell the truth. You cannot live an authentic life if you are a liar. And lying sometimes happens, not just to other people, but it happens with ourselves. We lie to ourselves all the time. Now, I know that there's people who are going to say that, you know, truth telling is controversial. And I coach people, you know, and I talk about the difference between privacy and honesty. But I want you to be honest as much as possible. And you know the truth that needs to come out, and with different people, with certain people. Some people, the neighbor, it's none of their business who you sleep with. But your spouse needs to know the truth. Without any truth, there's no peace. And no peace, there's no authentic self. Your soul is hurting. When you are conflict with yourself because you're not telling the truth, you're leading double lives, let's say, it really hurts your soul. You know, giving someone the truth, even though it's a bitter pill, even though it's painful, is such a liberating thing. Truths like, I hate this job. I studied medicine or law, but now I don't see myself working in a hospital or at a law firm. I don't want to do it. I know that I'm married to you, and I know that I should love you, and I know that it should be forever, but I have fallen out of love with you. I don't really like you very much, and I want out. I don't love you. These are all really, really difficult truths, and we would rather stuff it and live with it and make do than tell the truth. I was just on the phone with on Zoom with a couple just before starting here tonight. And, you know, there was some really painful truths that had to come out. And there was a lot of tears and a lot of crying. For example, she knows the marriage is over and she had accepted that. But she didn't realize that the marriage being over meant that she would only see the kids, her kids, 50% of the time. And this truth hit her in the stomach, like a punch in the stomach. And she just had this torrent of tears because she didn't really put two and two together. So the truth, when it's spoken, it might be a punch in the stomach, but later on, it helps you, it fast tracks you to acceptance and to healing and to getting to the other side, which is authenticity, leading an authentic life. So we are so afraid of people's reactions, and that's what keeps us blocked. And I see this all the time with my couples. You know, they don't want to tell the truth. Sometimes we go to, oh my goodness, great lengths to lie and then give a truth, a little bit of truth, and then another lie, and then a little bit of truth. And we do this over and over and over and over. Why? I think it's because we're tribal creatures and we don't want to be excommunicated. We don't want to be out of the club, out of favor. We don't want to be ostracized, you know. We don't want to be rejected out of the clan. And so we are so dependent on people's reactions. And that's why we don't tell the truth. If someone is lying to you, take a look at the way you react. Take a look at how you explode. If you explode, you scare people to tell the truth. Why would they? So it's kind of a little bit of a two-way street if you're in relationship. But here's what I say. Tell the truth to the core people in your life. Okay? Go deep. Ask yourself the hard questions. Seek therapy. Seek a good friend. Look in the mirror. Why do we want to tell the truth? Well, here's a few ideas why we want to tell the truth. The truth will always come out anyway. Lying damages relationships. Once trust is broken, it takes a long time to regain. Plus, it causes trauma in the other person. They don't know when to believe you. You can be innocent for like years and years, but they still have the trauma of your lie. And so they cannot quite let go and trust you. Lying affects your integrity. And lying kind of, you know, it's like, you know, years ago, I remember Barbara Frum saying that journalism was a slow drip on a very large rock. And some days she says, I don't even hit the rock. Well, I think that, you know, lying is the slow drip, drip, drip on your rock of integrity, your rock of self-worth, your rock of self-esteem. And the lies every day that you tell others, you tell yourself, you tell the person you live with, the person you sleep with, you tell your kids, it just erodes away the rock and it's just not there anymore. So it takes courage to speak the truth. But truth is also really good for your health. You know, it takes a lot of energy, and people who are often in conflict with themselves have way higher incidences of cold and flu and all kinds of other illness. So, you know, being in conflict with yourself is not good for your health. So those are just some reasons. So number two was tell the truth. So number three, honor your values. This is number three in terms of honoring your soul. But if you can honor your soul, you're leading an authentic life. So what does it mean to honor your values? Well, we all have values and we all have principles. What values do you hold dear? I have been this week so touched by the value of justice that so many people have, the demonstrations all over the world because of the injustice with the death of George Floyd. Yes, I think we will know his name for many, many, many years to come. And it just, you know, it just warms my heart that, you know, this value called justice to all people, regardless of color, is such a shared value for people that they will sacrifice the fear of getting COVID and being in close contact with strangers over the fact that they need to kind of go out there and demonstrate. And, you know, for the most part, they've been peaceful, some places not so peaceful. But, you know, that's the value of justice, and people are taking action on that. What is your value? What is your principles? What are your non-negotiables? What makes you truly happy? Because these are your values. I was talking to a woman yesterday and she's dating this guy and she's trying to figure out whether or not, you know, if he's the right guy, whether he's got all the right boxes are ticked. And one thing she said that she really loves about him, and it's just so endearing. She said, well, what I really love is that, no, he comes over and we go for a walk, and then he has his camera and I have my camera, and we take pictures of different things, flowers and trees and stuff in the forest. And then, you know, he teaches me about, you know, photography, and then we kind of compare notes. And it's just a little thing, but this thing that he does and that we do together just makes me so happy. Happiness is not complicated. It's found in the little things, you know, little things, a butterfly that comes by, you know, a gorgeous sunset, a smile from a stranger, a kind deed, someone letting you in line that you're in a hurry and they just say, please, I'm not in a hurry after you. It's the little things. And so it's not like the big, huge things. It's not even like your bank account, actually. It's, you know, research shows the science of happiness is that, you know, it's the little things. It's the human interactions as well. So this is about knowing your values and knowing what kind of makes you tick and what do you love. Notice, you know, what you're consistently feeling. you know, day in, day out with certain people at work, when you're doing something, when you're doing a hobby, you know, what things would you like to improve in yourself? What do you want to kind of accomplish? What's important to you? So, you know, one of the things that I really love watching is at my couples retreats is when the couples, you know, start sharing their feelings, just the beautiful river of emotion that is unleashed, and people really feel warm and vulnerable with each other, and they share their innermost feelings, and it's just beautiful to watch, you know. So honor your values. What is it that you value? What are your principles? What do you hold dear? Is it your parents' values, or do you have your own values? Have you grown as a person over upset, over breakups? Okay, so that's number three. Number four, it's okay to be vulnerable. In fact, the doorstep to authenticity is vulnerability. It's the real factor. I call this the Oprah and Ellen factor because they're so real and people love them. People just love Ellen and Oprah because they're just real. What you see is what you get. And they've told their stories and they've shared coming out and they've shared all kinds of bad things have happened to them. And so this vulnerability, you know, the more you are vulnerable, that you don't close everything in, the more your authentic self has permission to come out and to play and to interact with other people. In fact, the people that are open and, you know, they can kind of, you know, laugh at themselves or be vulnerable or be really genuine. You know, we say that, oh, that person's so genuine. You know, we move towards them. We like them. We want to be around them. So think of someone that you admire that's really genuine, someone who you know, totally out there. They wear their emotions on their sleeves because that is a quality of, you know, putting your soul out there and being real. Are you real, or are you always got like some mask? You're phony, you're preserved, you're not telling people the full truth. It's very complicated to be friends with someone like that because you just never know where they stand. So number four, vulnerability. And why are we not? Is because of fear. Fear blocks our authentic voice so many times. So here's an exercise you can try if you're afraid and you know you don't want to put your authentic self out there because you're afraid of the consequences. You know, I like to kind of like take it down a notch. You just keep it down a notch. For example, why can't I speak my mind with my boss? Okay, then what happens if I do that? Well, I might get fired. Okay, what's going to happen if I get fired? Well, then I might lose the house. Okay. What happens if you lose the house? Well, I might have to move and downsize. Okay, what's the worst that can happen? My kids won't like me. My spouse won't like me, won't think that I'm great. Okay, then what? So you need to kind of go to the bottom, substratum fear that usually is like, it's like the root and it's holding this kind of like this castle, this kind of mansion of fear that keeps our authentic voice stuck right here. You know, I do meditations for people and we do the chakra cleansing and we do different, you know, cleansing meditations and mindful exercises. And the most common block for people is right here, especially women. This chakra here is the throat chakra. It is, you know, our voice. Given, you know, rise to our voice. Let me ask you this tonight. What words do you need to speak that you have not spoken to someone and to whom? What truth do you have to share and to whom? Okay. What words need to just be unleashed from here? Because it's just so liberating. Now, you don't have to be mean and you don't have to be cruel and you don't have to be difficult. You need to speak your truth. Honestly, with conviction, and with love. Not with cruelty or vengeance or violence. So that's a little game you can play with yourself. So number four is vulnerability. Number five, to lead an authentic life, I want you to be a tall poppy. Now, what's a tall poppy? Well, I heard this in Australia when I was teaching seminars in Australia. I heard this whole thing about tall poppy, that nobody wants to be a tall poppy in Australia because someone's going to come around and they're going to cut you down because you need to kind of be uniform. You got to be like someone else, like everyone else, like don't stand out, don't make waves. You know, don't water yourself down for other people's approval is what I say. Because, you know, to be a tall poppy means that you're going to be your authentic self. If you are different, oh, well, you're different. I know all about this because growing up, I always felt different. I always felt like not like everyone else. I would see a movie. I would laugh at things that no one laughs at. And then I would feel sad at things that people did laugh at. I didn't think the same as people around me. And the animal that I associated myself with for a great number of years was the salmon. Like the salmon is going always upstream. It doesn't go downstream. It's not easy for the salmon. The salmon is going upstream because it's in the DNA of the salmon that that's what it's got to do. And if you're a salmon, let's unite. So freaking what? It's taken me so long to accept and love that I'm a salmon. That, you know, when I was younger, I had so much pain because I wasn't like other people. And, you know, I don't want you to hide your light under a bushel in order to not make other people feel bad. No, don't water yourself down to want to be like everyone else. Don't be afraid to be a maverick. I love that word, you know, maverick, to be an original, to be different, to stand out, you know, be an original. This is what I love to tell the new generation of kids is like, you know, you don't have to be like everyone else. Look at the people we admire in the media. You know, the people who are out there making songs. They are mavericks. They are out there. They've got something to say. They've got something special. I love people like Pink and people like Lady Gaga, who kind of write songs to kind of unite the people who do feel like salmons. And, you know, I think she calls them freaks. Like, you're not a freak, you know, but sometimes we feel like freaks, especially if you have a different sexual orientation, or if you're part of the LGBT community, or if you're a different color, or you're a different height. You know, like, there's so many reasons for us to feel like we don't belong. So, we, you know, bottom line is we all want to feel accepted, loved, and appreciated, you know, all of us, no matter who we are. And sometimes when you tone down who you are to fit in, you're betraying your soul. Don't betray your soul. Okay? Stand there. Just stand in the light. Be an original. Be who you are. So, number five, to lead an authentic life, be the tall poppy. And if you're not a tall poppy, that's okay too. But if you are different, honor it, bless it, own it. Number six, to lead an authentic life, you must peel back the mask. We are all wearing masks every single day. We bought into the belief that our authentic self, who we really are, is not okay, that we're not enough. We're too little, too much, too intense, not intense enough. It requires honesty to recognize that we have these masks and courage to peel them off. Sometimes we assume these masks when we were little because, you know, we didn't want any pain. We wanted the good girl from the teacher, from our parents. You know, we were afraid of not being loved. And so, you know, we put on the good girl mask or the good boy mask. So what are some of the masks that we wear, which, by the way, sometimes are unconscious. We don't even know we're wearing them. And if we're not aware of them, eventually they just become our identity. Here are some masks for you. Not enough mask. I'm the too much mask. I was the too much mask always. It's not about not enough. I was always too intense, too loud. The perfectionist mask, that's not my mask. Tough guy, not my mask. The know-it-all, the have-it-all, the done-it-all, the nice guy mask, the class clown, making people laugh, the weaker sex, the joker, the dumb blonde, the workaholic, self-sufficient, don't need no one mask, super mom, super dad, the stoic, the busy bee, always busy. How's it going? I'm always busy. Oh, I'm so busy. Caretaker of the world mask, the victim mask, the martyr mask, the saint, the fort, the judge, the rebel, the expert. These are some masks that we unconsciously assume. And then we go out through our lives and we live through these masks. And this is a huge impediment to your authentic self, to leading that authentic journey. So which of these masks do you know that you wear? What would you lose if you took them off? How does wearing these masks alienate you from your authentic self? And which ones are you ready to say goodbye to? The victim mask, the martyr, the saint, the perfectionist? So take a look at those masks and ask yourself those questions. Next, to lead an authentic life, sometimes you have to seek solitude. You need to spend time alone with your soul. One thing I really appreciate about this time, COVID-19, everything's been shut down, we're under quarantine, we're at home, is the fact that things have kind of slowed down, the chaos, the to-do, the running around, going somewhere. It's really come to a standstill. I mean, there's still people who just drive, they have to drive somewhere because they go back crazy staying in the house. But it's just really lovely. You know, one of the pluses and the positives of this is that we get to spend more time alone with our families, having quality time and not running away and not running to work and just working from home. So seeking solitude is a real blessing for the soul. Because why? Because the false self comes out for others. The false self is connected to ego, and ego always loves to put a show on. But if you're alone and you're seeking solitude and you spend some time alone, quality time by yourself, the true self is more likely to emerge when you're alone. Arrange a stretch of uninterrupted time at least once a day. Perhaps a long walk by yourself or sit in a quiet, comfortable place in your home, you know, and spend time alone. For me, I wake up in the morning and the first thing I have to do is I gotta go stare outside. I have to stare at the trees. And sometimes I'm just staring and staring and staring, and 20 minutes go by and I don't even realize it. So that's just kind of like, you know, my just staring at what's going on, the birds, the trees, the growth in the plants, the flowers, the grass. And that's my like little time alone. When I was a child growing up on a fruit farm here in Niagara, I used to go to the back of our farm, which was the Welland Canal. And there I would go with my journal, Sam, and I would write to Sam and I would just write down my thoughts. And I would be alone. And it was just one of the most happiest memories that I have of my childhood. What about now? As adults, we're so responsible to everyone that we rarely have time alone. In India and some of the Eastern Asian countries, they teach children during their schooling, during the classroom, that, you know, half an hour, the child spends time alone because they really are into the meditative arts. And so children learn that this is an okay thing. I can't tell you how many people I know who don't want to be alone. They feel bad. They feel sorry for themselves. They get weepy. They feel like they have no friends. They're unloved. It's like a detrimental, negative thing. It's not. It's a gift for your soul. That's number 7. Number 8, to lead an authentic life, I want you to trust your intuition. Trust that sixth sense. Trust that gut, that urge, that tug, you know, that tells you, this is wrong, right, this is wrong. Pay attention to how you feel, what your intuition is saying to you. This could be your instinct, you know, Because intuition, sometimes it's the barometer. It kind of tells you like, no, 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 no. You're getting further and further away from your authentic self. Like this way. Yes, yes, yes. You're getting close, close, close. And so the more you're intuitive and you really trust yourself. And I find that just giving people that moment to put your hand on your heart and close your eyes and take a deep breath. The reason why breath is so important to meditative arts and to self-awareness is because when you breathe, you give permission, your breath gives permission to your mind to relax. And then when your mind relaxes, your mind controls the body. So if you want to have a healthy body, this is why yoga teaches you that with movement, you breathe. Meditation, mindfulness, it's about breath work, right? So if you, you know, are outside in nature and you're spending some time alone, you can also do your breathing then. You can mix and match these things and spend some time meditating alone out in nature. It's like triple whammy. You've done all kinds of really great things. If you're out in nature, you're getting the benefit of so many amazing stimulus and hormones and energy that comes from the trees and just from the color green. There's so much science that's been done with executives that you give them a hard problem and they're stuck in four walls in a boardroom and then they can't solve it. And you give the same problem to a group of other executives and you take them to the park. And just being out in green, how green, you know, stimulates the oxygen centers of the brain and you have greater creativity and problem solving ability. So trusting your intuition, paying attention to yourself, going within, it's all part of that kind of seeking solitude and being okay with solitude because the authentic self does not come out for a show. The authentic self doesn't come out to grandstand. It's quiet, it's subtle. It's like that feather that falls and just kind of lands on your face. It's not the Mack truck, people. It's the feather. That's number 8. And finally, number 9, to lead an authentic life, I want you to be mindful of the world around you. Look around. Pay attention to people. Pay attention to their reactions. Pay attention to how they feel. Pay attention to what's happening. I remember once being in a busy department store and it was Christmas and there was a young woman behind the desk and she was a cashier and everybody was like, you know, like in a hurry and there's this, you know, hustle and bustle in the air and it was a very, very busy night and people were trying to get their last minute shopping done. And no one seemed to notice, but I looked at her face and I could see a tear coming down her face, but she was putting on the mask that she was a professional and she was a really good cashier and she was trying to do her best with some very angry customer. And the tear was just falling. And at first I just thought it was sweat, but then I thought, no, it can't be sweat. It's a tear, but she was doing such a good job to not lose it. And then I said to her, are you okay? And she lost it. And she started crying and she had to go into the back room. And I felt awful. But, you know, I also think that I kind of relieved her because imagine the stress of being so upset that your body is like emitting tears, okay? The tears are like toxic emotion and that's why they're coming out. And she was so much under pressure, but she had to be there. She couldn't get rescued. So my question kind of rescued her, you know, but sometimes we just need to pay attention to people, open your eyes. I have this friend who comes over sometimes and she comes in and she's like a bolt of energy. Like she's got all this energy, frenetic energy all around her. And sometimes I just want to kind of grab her and I just want to look her in the eye and I want to say, hi, hi, my friend. How are you? Let me look at you. Stay still for a moment. Let me soak you in. You know, usually she's been on the road for a while and she's got to go to the bathroom and she's got to like, you know, she's like, And I notice now that people's energy really affects me, you know, because I want to make that contact. I want to just communicate to their soul. That's really good communication to me, is make that contact and, you know, wait a moment and lock eyes and say hi, you know. So I want you to pay attention to people, make that moment, you know, like lock eyes and smile, acknowledge them. Okay. Then you can talk about all the craziness in your life and how busy you are and the kids are driving you crazy. But just as soon as you see someone, connect. Another example I remember is my husband used to tell me when he was young that he didn't know that he needed glasses until he was about 10 years old. And when he would look at trees, he just would see this kind of blob of green. He never thought that you're supposed to see like individual leaves. And the first time he got glasses and he put them on and he was like looking around and like, wow, like the trees actually have leaves, like you actually can see those things. And he just said that it was like amazing. He was walking around like he was seeing the world for the first time. I want you to have a little bit of that awe. I want you to kind of be awestruck. I want you to look in your backyard like that. I want you to look at your beloved's face like that. I want you to look at your friends if you are lucky enough to visit with your friends one-on-one in this time of COVID. I want you to see them and soak them in and really, really be mindful of this world around you. Put on some magic glasses and look around and look through these glasses and see what you can see and what you can appreciate. Because another portal to your authentic self is the art of appreciation. The art of gratitude. The more grateful you can be, the more authentic, because who we really are deep down is love, and appreciation is the highest frequency. Gratitude is the highest frequency of that love. And so the more you're mindful of the love, of the gratitude, of the appreciation, and really see people, really take them in and pause, you know, be observant. Be a great writer, because all writers are great observers. Be a writer about your life, okay? You know, what would you write about? What do you observe about your life? You know, observe your surroundings. And so that's the ninth idea to lead an authentic life, is be mindful of the world around you. So we're at 45 minutes, my friends. So in closing, what do I want to say to you? Leading an authentic life is about knowing and honoring your soul. It's about telling the truth and being true to yourself, first and foremost. It's about standing up for your values and principles and standing in the fire if you have to. It's about knowing your non-negotiables. It's about communicating your non-negotiables. It's being not being afraid of having non-negotiables. It's about being a tall poppy if you're, you know, if you're strange and different and you feel weird. It's about courage. The delicate balance of respecting people, okay, and yet honoring your truth. Yes, you want to respect people and their authentic self. You know, I always say your rights end where my rights begin. Let's create win-win solutions or not at all. So, you know, we are in this world together. We have to get along together. You know, we don't own the planet. We need to also be kind to the planet and just and animals. My goodness, we need to share, you know, our resources with these beautiful animals. I think I heard recently that there's so many types of animals that are becoming extinct day by day by day. We're losing species of incredible creatures on this planet Earth. And, you know, like that just breaks my heart. The diversity, we're losing it. So we need to share. We need to kind of realize that we all have the right to be authentic, but also to honor and respect other people's authentic choices and, you know, that they might be different. And finally, it's about exercising your fifth chakra, your throat chakra, your communication chakra, and speaking your truth and telling people what's right and what's wrong. And you know, not in a violent, nasty way, but with love and with respect and with kindness. Good soul care is about stopping your life sometimes and just sitting quietly and liking the person that you are. St. Augustine, one of the philosophers that I studied in philosophy classes, he was a medieval father of the church. And I love one of the things that he said and about the soul. And I'm going to leave you with that tonight. And I hope that I've given you some ideas to think about. I'm sure that you're probably, you know, doing some things amazing for yourself and your authenticity. And maybe some things we need to fine tune. So, you know, don't feel bad. You know, life is a classroom. We're here to learn. You know, I always say God's not done with me yet. So we're always, you know, works in progress and we're learning. So St. Augustine said, take care of your body as if you were going to live forever, and take care of your soul as if you were going to die tomorrow. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to say it one more time. Take care of your body as if you were going to live forever, and take care of your soul as if you were going to die tomorrow. And so I wish you great soul care. Thank you for joining me tonight. And blessings and love to all of you.